My dear brothers and sisters, what I've tried to do tonight is, with all the quotes that come from the Bible, they will be coming up on the screen behind me here, and I won't be reading those quotes, it's down to you to read them. But sadly, while I was going through this, I lost my way slightly, so please bear with me, I think it's about halfway through. But my dear brothers and sisters, can you do this subject any justice of this wonderful man, Peter? Well, I don't think I have, but we'll see how we go. But it seems in the New Testament that there is more written about this man, Peter, than any other figure, really. Well, except for Jesus Christ. And for this man, Peter, he seems to be frequently portrayed within the scriptures, in those early books of the Gospels, as being rash, of being impulsive, and dare I say it, always seems to be putting his foot in his mouth. But my dear brothers and sisters and dear friends, the one thing we can say about Peter was that when Jesus told him, when Jesus told Peter and his brother to follow him, they simply walked away and left nothing. They left everything that they had without a second thought. And what we have to do is consider that very fact and what this meant, that they left everything. They left their fishing boats. They left their fishing nets. They left all the equipment that came with their trade that they had worked so very hard to establish. How many of us today would be willing to leave their own business to follow someone that simply said to them, "Follow me"? But what we know with this man Peter, that he was always motivated by his deep, very deep devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter did have some very good intentions, even though when he did put his foot in his mouth. But this life of Peter that we've come to look at tonight, he is a great example to us all, a great example of human weakness. But the other example is the way that he is transformed in his character by that wonderful power that can only come from the love of God. We know that this man Peter, his original name was Simon. He was ordinary, we could say, couldn't we? Could we say that he was uneducated? He was a fisherman that we certainly know of from Galilee. And his brother, who we've already mentioned, was also a fisherman with them. And these two brothers are told come from a place called Bethsaida. Well, I don't know about you, the image of a fisherman of today, and probably back then, are people who are quite gruff. And I'm glad there's no fishermen in the audience today. But quite gruff, quite unkempt, and probably very vile, shabbily dressed. And I have the image of them using very vulgar language as well. But their life, if we imagine it, would be a rough life. Because it seems that fishing is a very physical and it is a very demanding job. But what also comes with this job, they must have been somewhat fearless as well, because some of the storms that fishermen have to endure, and especially the storms that would come quickly upon the Sea of Galilee, because the storms upon the Sea of Galilee are well known for being very fierce and very furious. And they were also known that they would catch the fishermen by surprise and could easily capsize their boats that they were in. What we know of Andrew is that he was already a follower of John the Baptist. And through John the Baptist, Andrew had come to learn quite quickly that he realized that this Jesus was going to be the true Messiah. And it was Andrew who introduced Peter to Jesus at their first meeting. And it was Jesus who changed Peter's name from Simon to Peter. And we all know, don't we, that his name would mean the rock. Peter, like all human beings before their calling, was a sinful man. In fact, he was ashamed of his sinfulness. He was ashamed of that sinfulness within the presence of Jesus Christ. But let's go back to his name being changed. For his names are very significant and are very important to the Jews. For the Jews can see some sort of foretelling in their significance. And a new name that Peter was given meant that there was going to be changes within his own life. And within his own life there were certainly going to be challenges. Jesus declares, Jesus declares to Peter that his vocation, that his job would no longer be as a fisherman, but he would be a catcher of people that we can see right here. And Peter and Andrew, along with the other 10 disciples, they followed Jesus. They followed him everywhere for the next very important 3.5 years. Within those 3.5 years, they would have heard Jesus profound, they would have heard his profound and his new teachings. They heard that wonderful message that Jesus was preaching to the crowds. As well, those disciples would have had private exhortation from Jesus and they would have had private instructions. They heard many parables that Jesus used to describe the kingdom of God. But they also would have had the explanations to this kingdom of God, which we see here. Peter and the other disciples saw the amazing miracles that Jesus did. They witnessed him healing the sick. They watched him drive out the demons. They saw him feed multitudes of people. Peter himself saw his own mother-in-law being healed. Peter and the other disciples saw Jesus' power over nature. The disciples also observed Jesus' attitudes. They witnessed his behavior and his compassion. They saw his humility and they saw his service. The way he would welcome children, the way he would treat women with dignity and with honour, and the way he ministered unto outcasts. Like the other disciples, Peter was an eyewitness to Jesus' death, to his resurrection, and he watched him go into heaven. In fact, Peter seems to have been especially chosen to be both the witness for the future proclaimed of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One more. Peter, James and John were the three disciples that were closest to Jesus, and they experienced and they witnessed situations that the other disciples seemed to miss out on. But these disciples are listed in the New Testament, and it always seems to me that Peter is mentioned first. Here's an example in Mark chapter 5. As you can see, Peter, James and John are mentioned there. And we have the other example that I found. As you can see, Jesus mentions Peter straight away. Despite the wealth of the teaching that the disciples had, the astonishing display of the countless miracles, and Jesus continually to explain of the love and compassion. But sadly, what we read is that the disciples frequently did not get it. This seems to be especially true for the man we study tonight, Peter. Or perhaps he was the only one, maybe he was the only disciple who was honest enough. Have I made the mistake already? Let's just make sure. There's the example that they were afraid to ask about him. But Peter seems to be the honest one who has the voice to talk about his misunderstandings. Hopefully this is the right one. And it also seems that Peter often would be the person who was the spokesman for all the disciples. The Gospel of Mark in particular frequently reveals the slowness of the disciples to understand Jesus. Peter, we know, often spoke too quickly and impulsively before he even himself understood the situation that he found himself in. He did this, didn't he? He did this at the... Oh no, there we go. We're now starting to go wrong. He did this at the Transfiguration. He did this, here we are back again. He did this when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. How he jumps in there, puts his feet straight in the mouth. And just after, when Jesus explained that he would suffer and die and rise again, you can see how he misunderstood what Jesus was telling him there. We also know of Peter as being, we have the other example There is this example at the temple tax incident where we read in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 24. We also know, don't we? We also know of Peter's unpredictable bravery. We know that it caused him to cut off the ear of the high priest, the servant of the high priest. But sadly, dear brothers and sisters and dear friends, It's after Jesus' arrest. Peter did have the courage to follow Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest's palace. But all we know is that Peter became frightened by the questions of the servant girl, fearing that he would be recognized as a follower of Jesus and perhaps be subject to the same brutal, very brutal treatment that Jesus was having at the same time. Peter, as we know, he denied, didn't he? He denied his relationship with Jesus, just as Jesus had foretold. Well, up there. Peter was bitterly sorry for his failure. This incident is an example of Peter's ready enthusiasm, but also an example of his speedy collapse in the face of the difficulties that he saw. Peter's courage and his faith also failed him monumentally when he tried to walk on the water. But however, my dear brothers and sisters and dear friends, we have to admire his eagerness to even venture out of that boat, out on that water, on that storm, those waves that were tossed the boat with the Lord. After his resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, Jesus lovingly and patiently restores Peter, and he charged Peter with the care of his flock, which we can read of in John 21 there. And in 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter, this man that we love, with all his faults, as well as his strength, was Jesus' choice as the leader, the future leader of the church. Now, this is where I think I went slightly wrong, so you'll have to bear with me. I've moved on a bit. My favourite declaration of Peter's, however, is found when he says this, where he expresses his faith, his devotion, and his allegiance to Christ, and he says, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. What moving words they were. When Jesus returned to heaven, Peter took over the leadership of the community of the believers. There were at least 120 believers at the time. And as usual, Peter is listed in the first of the disciples to be taking this on. But after waiting in Jerusalem, as Jesus had commanded, the group of the 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Many of the people who had travelled for many miles, who'd come to Jerusalem to celebrate this Jewish festival of the Pentecost, these people heard the believers. They heard Peter speaking in other languages, foreign languages, which all they recognised, all these pilgrims could understand. Peter, who was newly baptised with the Holy Spirit, he stood up with all the other disciples, and they boldly, yes, boldly addressed the gathering crowds. And Peter, who had listened to countless messages which were given to him by Jesus, for Jesus was the excellent and powerful teacher that Peter listened to. And how he was now putting his training into good use. Here we see it in John chapter 14. As a result of Peter's message, 3,000 people became Christian believers, and they were baptized, and what we can say is the church was born. Here's a message. I'm going to move this one on. In Acts chapter 4, we read that within a short space of time, the number of believers risen to over 5,000, and this didn't actually include the women and children. This was mainly due to the Holy Spirit working through the teaching of Peter and of John. Peter confidently defended on many occasions his faith before the Jewish council, his faith before Jewish elders, and they were amazed, because they had to be, at Peter and at John's courage. And we see that brothers and sisters. I think I've completely lost it. I won't use that anymore. And this is from Acts chapter 4 verse 13. And when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, that they were ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Peter and the other disciples taught, and they proclaimed the gospel daily. A lesson for us all. And some of those messages that Peter gave are recorded in that wonderful book of Acts, and there are many, many quotes. Peter's speeches after the Pentecost are so full of wisdom for us all, and had an insight. What we see, dear brothers and sisters, within this man is no trace whatsoever of that foolish man that we know. The blundering man that we know. That man who continually misunderstood Jesus' teaching. Peter's courage would no longer fail him, despite the difficulties that he faced, despite the threats, despite the persecutions that were to follow him. All Peter performed was miraculous. And he had wonderful signs, and he had wonderful wonders. And all the people that came to him for healing or for deliverance, for they were healed by him and they were set free by him. Peter is specially known for his miracles that he performed. Acts chapter 5 verse 15 says, And as a result, people brought their sick into the streets and they laid them on beds and on mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Jesus, for us, had fulfilled the old covenant and the new covenant in the Jewish context. But now that that covenant had been confirmed with Jesus through his death and his resurrection, and with the coming Holy Spirit to those who spoke about the gospel was then taught to all nations, was taught to us Gentiles. We know that Peter had to have a great deal of persuading to realize that the Gentiles also could become Christian disciples as well. But God, our Heavenly Father, had to intervene as he does. He had to intervene in Peter's life step by step to show Peter that the Gentiles were also included in his salvation plan. Peter, we know, was obedient and went to the house of Cornelius and he preached to the Gentiles assembled there. Peter also, I think, is wisely that he took six other men with him so that with him, including himself, that there was going to be seven witnesses to this very significant chapter in the history of the early church. And when the Gentiles understood, Peter fully accepted that the gospel was for them also. He said in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts people from every nation who fear him and do what is right." We know that Peter's main ministry was actually to the Jews, and it was Paul's mission to be the apostle to us Gentiles. The Church of Christ would become a universal body made up from believers from all over the globe, of every language and every race. We here are all in one in Christ. Peter makes a seemingly brief appearance at the Council of Jerusalem, which we see in Acts chapter 15. And what we read there, that he gives expert advice when sharing with the leaders who had to decide about the teaching to the Judeans. The Judeans taught that the Gentiles had to be converted to them first, and that the men would have to be circumcised before they could be saved and even be accepted into that church. The council rejected these teachings, but they did introduce a few rules to help enable fellowship between the Jewish nation and the Gentile believers. What we have, dear brothers and sisters, is Peter's first epistle What we have to do, dear brothers and sisters, is know that Peter was no longer unstable. He was no longer unwise. He had, thankfully, become the rock. He had become the rock that Jesus had prophesied about. And through Peter's ministry, many thousands of people have become Christians, Jews and Gentiles. This is an impressive catch for a former fisherman. Peter himself, who is the author of two letters that are included in the New Testament, he wrote these letters, dear brothers and sisters, to encourage us. He wrote them to support us who are suffering today. He encouraged us as Christians to be steadfast and self-controlled. Peter is obviously speaking from personal experiences when he writes in one of his letters, Christ will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. What we know is that Peter maintained his enthusiasm and his devotion to Christ right up to the end, where it's traditionally believed that he was killed in Rome around 65 AD, and he was killed for his unwavering and steadfast faith. Peter, for us, is a wonderful example to us of a transforming power which can change someone from a bumbling fisherman into a powerful apostle and a highly successful preacher of the gospel. We know, dear brothers and sisters and dear friends, we know that Peter is a much loved Bible character, and that goes without any saying. But what we should remember and what we should hold tight to is his life. We should hold tightly to the legacy that is written down for us, to understand how unique it is. And this should become invaluable to us as it impacts all our lives.